You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 17th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Yes, once again, it's the end of another week. The weekend lies ahead and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm not sure that Friday, I was thinking about, you know, this whole, you know, thank goodness it's Friday. Yay, it's Friday. And I'm thinking, yeah, but, you know, a lot of people don't have a job anymore. So it's just yet another day of the week. They all running together. And if you do have a job, then you're probably like, you know, not getting the weekend off. You're not getting the weekend off anyway. So I'm not even really sure that it's that special. But that's one of the great things about these shows. You can come back in and listen at any time. And you're definitely going to be glad you listened this week's, aren't they, Sven? Because we're bringing a trifecta. We're going to bring a trifecta of clownishness this week.
Yes, you wait around for a clown world story for months on end without one. And then suddenly three of them come along all at once. And we do have to mention that it's the weekend just to bring a sense of normalcy to things. I think you're quite right there that a lot of people aren't working, but at least they can rely on us celebrating the weekend here at Radio Albion with a humorous story at the end of the week. And of course, as you just mentioned there, Grandpa, we have three of them this week. A senior curator at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art has resigned after his colleagues circulated a petition accusing him of holding toxic white supremacist beliefs. Gary Garrels sparked outrage among staff when he concluded a presentation about recent accusations of art by people of colour by saying, "Don't worry, we will definitely still continue to collect from white artists." In the meeting, Garrels argued that avoiding work by white men would amount to reverse discrimination, prompting a group of museum employees to start a petition calling for him to resign immediately. I mean, this is really shocking that he would use language like reverse discrimination. I mean, that's just apparently now that is outright racism to talk about reverse discrimination. And also just to confirm that the museum will still continue to collect work from white artists. What are they implying here? That should now no longer go on? White artists should all be made redundant? What do you make of this, Grandpa, this senior curator and his toxic white supremacist beliefs?
It seems like the term white supremacist keeps getting defined down quite a bit. I'm also sitting here wondering if we're all supposed to be pretending that all of this whole collective narrative is not are we still pretending that it's not an anti-white agenda? Because I mean, it obviously is. If we're down to the point of simply saying, yeah, well, we're going to still have white artists too, is now, completely taboo and you get your job taken away from you for it. It's kind of like people being fired, losing their jobs, attacked, even killed for daring to say that all lives matter, because saying all lives matter is also white supremacy, evil racism, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just, are we supposed to still keep pretending, or do we just act like we don't know? It's so hard to keep up because the narrative keeps changing day by day. And I think this will definitely, I think this is definitely a case of, once again, they're starting, you know, the purges never end with communists. And I'm sure this guy is not exactly, you know, a MAGA conservative, much less a evil white supremacist or whatever the heck you want to say. You know, he's probably pretty liberal in his views, but yet he didn't realize, you know, they're walking through a minefield and he stepped on a mine.
He you should count yourself lucky he wasn't shot and killed, basically. I mean, we had a young mother, a young white mother, who was shot and killed last week for daring to say all lives matter to Black Lives Matter protesters. And all credit to the Sun that has actually reported on that. I don't believe any other newspapers has, and doesn't appear to have made it to international news. But we don't want to talk about too much of a dark subject today. We want to keep things humorous here. Gary's removal from SF MoMA is non-negotiable, the petition states. Considering his lengthy tenure at this institution, we ask, just how long have his toxic white supremacist beliefs regarding race and equity directed his position curating the content at the museum? The employee petition charges that Garrels has been obtuse at best, to the point of offence, or deliberately racist at worst in his retorts to criticism. Amongst SF MoMA staff, as well as in public view, Gary has used and continues to use white supremacist and racist language such as reverse racism, it adds. So reverse racism is now white supremacist language. I mean, what does this tell us? It tells us that you can only be racist if you are white, and that racism cannot ever occur to white people. And even to suggest that it might occur to white people means that you will now be completely cancelled, and you are completely taboo. And yet, besides all of this, this man here who is being cancelled is actually a fully paid up SJW. Over the course of his career, Garrels helped organise early shows by emerging artists of colour, including Glenn Ligon, Doris Salcido and Kara Walker, as well as retrospectives featuring Vija Kelmins, Bruce Connor and Sol LeWitt. Last year, he spearheaded the sale of a $50.1 million Mark Rothko painting that was used to create a fund dedicated to purchasing works by female artists, artists of colour and LGBTQ+ artists. So if people are thinking that if they do all they can to promote diversity, do all they can to promote lesbian artists and artists of colour, and they think that they can get away with saying that perhaps we still ought to buy artworks by white people, they need to think again. It doesn't matter what you do, you will be cancelled by these people because they are anti-white.
Well, there's no approaching this with logic. I mean, these words mean what they want them to mean at the time. Like racism, what the hell does it even mean anymore? I mean, to simply say, oh, we're still going to carry white artists, that is now racism and white supremacy. It's if you try to make sense of the nonsensical, it'll just drive you mad. I mean, it does make no sense. They couldn't even, if you pressed any of these people, say, define what this means. What does this racism even mean to you? What does that mean? It just means it's just what they don't like, you know, like a little kid calling another little kid poopy pants or something. I mean, it's just name calling. It's just name calling of anyone that they don't like. And once again, I mean, the purges never end. Anybody that has these illusions, any normie cons or whatever, have this illusion at some point in time, these people will say, okay, you've given us enough and we'll leave you alone now. I mean, that's just fantasy, because they'll even purge their own ranks. In fact, I think it's harder on these people that consider themselves part of this leftist movement, because they are the ones that are constantly walking in landmine, because these definitions, the standards change day by day, if not hour by hour. And at any time they could make a wrong move and step on a landmine and they're gone. They're unhuman. They're depersoned too. Reminds me of those pictures you see where, like, you know, the original picture, this guy is walking beside Stalin. And then the later picture, they like removed him from the picture. It's just like that.
Well, the actual pictures that they have in this museum, I mean, they're all modern art. They're all horrible, ugly things, particularly, you know, this Rothko painting that sold for $50.1 million. I mean, this guy was a fully paid up anti-racist, and he's resigned because he obviously accepts what they're saying here, that he is he's a white supremacist for using this language. Well, let's move on to the next story that we've got here, which is about reparations. And believe it or not, officials in Asheville, North Carolina, have made an unprecedented pledge to pay reparations to Black residents and their descendants as an apology for the city's historic role in slavery and discrimination. And correct me if I'm incorrect here, but I think that means that Black slaves have now been paid for three times. the product is actually going to be paid for a third time. And it, and if people think that this will be the end of it and blacks will stop calling for reparations, they've got to think again, because this, as I say, this happened the first time when the slaves were purchased from the African traders. It happened the second time when all of, in fact, I think, I don't know if it was all of Europe or whether it was just Britain, actually took out a massive loan in order to purchase the slaves again for a second time, in order to then give them their freedom. And now we have North Carolina saying that they are going to purchase the slaves again for a third time. They're going to give all this money to these black residents. And they base this on the amount of wages that these black slaves would have been paid, basically, as if they weren't paid in anything at all. They were paid in kind. They had their clothing paid for. They had their food paid for. They had a roof over their head. They had all their medical needs attended to. They had a pension when they were too old to work. They were still looked after. Their children were looked after. They had childcare for them. Everything that you that you need to work for in order to earn wages for today, the slaves actually had provided for them. So it's not as if they didn't have any kind of payment for the work that they did, but that's what they're going to work out this supposed amount of money that is owed to them on, and it goes into billions of dollars here. Well, the Asheville City Council unanimously passed this resolution that aims to bolster the economic standing of the roughly 12,400 black people living in the city during a Zoom session on Tuesday night. The resolution, which came in the wake of weeks of intense local protests against racism, does not mandate direct payments, but instead calls for investments in housing, healthcare, and career growth in areas where black residents face disparities. And I think that's the bit that they will seize onto next time when they demand this money for the fourth time. They'll say that they didn't actually get the money directly themselves. It was invested in housing, healthcare, and career growth for them, which is essentially what the slave masters did in the first place. They invested that money into housing and healthcare for them. So I do think we're going to see this again. They're going to be demanding money again, simply because it's not going directly to them. What do you make of this, Grandpa? Reparations.
Awesome. It's not reparations, because there are no slaves alive. It's been over 150 years since there was slavery in this country. So it's not reparations. If it was reparations, you would be paying the slaves themselves, and that's literally impossible now. So what they're doing here is they're paying protection money. They're hoping by doing this they won't burn the city down. I mean, it'll quell some of the looting, and they're just simply trying to pay them off. So maybe, you know, they won't burn the city down and rip up stuff, which, of course, it won't work. You know, I mean, their reasoning here is, you know, they're not really even talking about slavery. They're talking about current modern day problems, which is in unequal outcomes. You know, but since the narrative demands that everybody is exactly the same, they have to come up, they have to invent a reason why, you know, you have these poor, let's just say poor standing in these communities than in other areas. So it has to be because of the legacy of slavery. So it's, once again, it's one of those undefinable terms, you know, like institutional racism. Nobody can tell you what that means. It just means that, well, since as a percentage of the population, blacks are poor and live in crappier neighborhoods, it must be because of this vague term racism, or because of the slavery that happened over 150 years ago. So, I mean, it's just, once again, it's just, they're paying protection money. That's all this is. And in the end, no, it won't work.
You know, I think you are confirmed in what you are saying there, Grandpa, with the quote that they actually say here, where it comes in the weeks of intense local protests against racism, and that's the reason for it. So it does imply that this is protection money, because how can it be compensation when for something that happened 200 years ago? Well, they say the resulting budgetary and programmatic priorities may include, but not be limited to, increasing minority home ownership and access to other affordable housing, increasing minority business ownership and career opportunities, strategies to grow equity and generational wealth, closing the gaps in healthcare, education, employment and pay, neighborhood safety and fairness within criminal justice, the resolution read. So that tells us that there are all these differences basically between white people and black people, and yet they put all of this down to racism rather than these black people just being different to whites. They don't have such home ownership, and they don't have so many businesses because they don't earn that much money. They don't work so much as that. They have a very high unemployment rate. According to the 2010 census, the median income for black families in Asheville is $30,000, well below the median income for all area families, $42,333. And if that was anybody else and they said, well, I don't earn so much money, they would think, well, let's go out and get some other qualifications. Let's go out and do some more work. But if you're black, you can say, well, it's not my fault. It's the people that are paying me the wages fault. They just don't want to employ me. They just don't want to give me a high-flying job as an executive. And nothing to do with the fact that they don't have the qualifications to be a high-flying executive. In passing the reparations resolution, the city aims to eliminate these disparities and other less obvious ones by investing in long-neglected black communities. How can they say they are neglected? We have all these programs that are there to help them. We have all these diversity quotas to get them into jobs. We have diversity quotas in the universities. We have schools where they bus white children in so that they can sit next to the black children, because apparently that's going to improve things for the blacks, just being mixed up with the white children. Maybe this magic will just wear off, this magical white privilege will just wear off onto these black pupils, and they'll succeed at their exams and they'll stop mucking around and fighting one another in the schools. They're not even allowed to expel them anymore. I don't think they're allowed to even discipline these black children that cause riots in the classrooms. I mean, everything about this tells us that these people are different to us. That's all there is to it. They are different to us, and you will never eliminate that disparity any more than you will eliminate the disparity between cats and dogs. What do you make of all these programmatic priorities they have here, Grandpa?
Well, you can bet. I mean, they're talking about the median income for black families, $30,000, versus the median income for all area families being $42,000. It's roughly a $12,000 difference. And of course, they're going to dump all of this money into this. I think it's telling that they plan to. It's obvious they're going to plan to take that money out of those people that make a measly $12,000 per year, a median income more. There's no talk of like taking this out of the banks. There's no talk of finding a way to get some of this money from big corporations to cover this cost. I mean, the big corporations are dropping all of this money into these BLM movements, millions and millions of dollars to agitate the communist mobs, the black mobs. But I hate to even say black mobs because there's always so many white faces involved. I don't think that's even necessarily fair. But they're not talking about making any of the corporations or banks pay for this, which I think in and of itself is kind of telling.
Well, there's nothing here about despite their qualifications, they haven't been paid the same money, or despite doing the hard work, they haven't been paid the same money. It's just saying, well, they should have the same amount of money as these other families just because equality. I mean, that is basically communism, isn't it? It's take from the people over there and just give it to the people over here, regardless of whether they've done any work for that. Well, we've got one third news story here about a black radio host, and I had never heard of him before. Apparently his name is Nick Cannon. Have you heard of this this host before? Do you know much about this this story here? Because it's really caused a lot of news inches basically in America. What do you make of this news story here, this Nick Cannon, I believe that's his name, and Charlemagne the God, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, I know they're, I guess, a thing. I obviously don't really keep up with what's popular on American TV. I don't watch American TV. So, you know, I just kind of vaguely know who these people are when they pop up in the celebrity press as I'm scrolling through, usually looking for Clown World stories for this show. But I thought this story here that we're going to try to cover, I think it's very interesting, very telling. I mean, I think this guy also has a gig like on TV as well. So, you know, apparently, I mean, he's a pretty pretty successful celebrity. But once again, he stepped on a landmine. You see, black people can step on landmines as well. And he stepped on a big one.
Well, not for attacking white people, but for apparently he said some negative things about Jews. Nick Cannon finally apologized for his anti-Semitic remarks in a series of tweets Wednesday evening, telling fans, "I feel ashamed." But he completely failed to address calling white people evil, rapists, and savages. I guess it's perfectly okay for you to call white people evil, rapists, and savages. You're not going to get any censure for that in the land of white privilege. But if you speak out against the Jews, then that's it. You are going to lose your job. Viacom CBS cut ties with the actor Tuesday after his controversial comments during an episode of his talk show, Cannon's Class, on YouTube on June the 30th. And I believe he said something about how black people were really the Hebrews, which doesn't really make a lot of sense because, well, for a start, black people never invented a written language. So I don't know how they ever wrote the Old Testament. It's a bit of a crazy claim for them to make. But apparently this really upset the Jews. Nobody else is allowed to say that they are the chosen people apart from the Jews. Whether there's any historical evidence for that or not, it doesn't matter. But that appears to be the thing that really set the cat among the pigeons, not calling white people evil, rapists, and savages. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
All of these stories, we have to start from the same standpoint, which is that Rem is best girl. And... I don't believe, you know, there's people that like have this picture in their mind, like the Jews sit around and have these secret cabalistic meetings and, you know, what we're going to do. And I don't believe that, because this would be such a poor strategy, you know, to sit here and you have somebody pop up about them and then to sit there and we're going to disprove that we own and run all of these institutions such as Hollywood by immediately having you fired and unpersoned. It just kind of proves a point. It's kind of like how here in America we have all of this stuff, this uproar concerning the blacks, and they always trot out the hand-picked civil rights leaders. You know, you're not going to get Louis Farrakhan out there. I mean, he says plenty of stuff about white people, but he's pretty much immune to stepping on the landmine there. He doesn't care. So you're not ever going to have him trotted out as a spokesperson. And yes, you're absolutely right. He's sitting here on a roll about white people evil, and everybody's like, yeah, white people are savages. Yeah, white people are evil rapists. Yes. And the Jews, boom. And of course, yeah, you see him instantly fired. He's going to get the Mel Gibson treatment here. And immediately what he thought were his Hollywood friends just like, on cue, they're all like, oh, I didn't know he was that way. Oh, he said, oh, I don't even hardly know that guy. You know, he's just instantly unpersoned. And I guarantee you his career is over.
Well, someone else's career might be over as well. Radio personality Charlemagne the God had earlier said Cannon's firing from Viacom CBS has proved Jews have the power. The Breakfast Club host weighed in on the controversy after Cannon was accused of spreading anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and said white people were evil and true savages on his podcast. Nick is my guy. I hate it had to be him. But that's what you can do when you have the power, Charlemagne said on Wednesday. And if there is one thing Jewish people have showed us, it's that they have the power. I can't wait until the day black people are able to fire people for saying things about us that we deem racist. We can barely get cops fired for actually killing us, he added. And I find this really interesting because he doesn't really seem to have worked it out that, well, hang on a minute. It can't be white people that have all this power, can it? Because if he's saying that white people are evil and savages and nothing happens, but if he says, as soon as he says that black people are really the Israelites, then he gets banned and it's the Jews that have all the power, why is he still going after white people? I mean, it seems that he can't actually work this out. He's saying, he's getting close to it, I think. He's saying, you know, black people can't get people fired, Jews can get people fired, but no mention at all of, well, hang on a minute, aren't they actually protesting against the wrong people by going against whites here? What do you make of Charlemagne the red-pilled god here, Grandpa?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at his statements here, and they're all absolutely right. I mean, you know, credit where due. I mean, he nails, you know, hits the nail on the head with this one. And as far, you know, to be fair, as far as that cognitive dissonance here, I mean, I see that among, you know, white normies all the time, too. You know, they, you know, Jews are white, Jews are not white, Jew is a religion. Just, you know, you see that sort of thing and that confusion because that definition is always evolving and changing, you know, just depending on what the current situation is. Oh, you're persecuting me for my religion. Oh, no, I'm a separate race because, you know, we have an ethnic Jewish state in the state of Israel. But I mean, his statements here are absolutely dead on true. I mean, again, I don't know really who this guy is, and I'm sure he says lots of anti-white people stuff. But, you know, the truth is the truth. And his statement here that this proves that they do have the power. And I mean, he's absolutely right. I mean, they, you know, they have articles that they write in Israeli newspapers like, yeah, we do run Hollywood, you know, and honestly, it would be less disingenuous if they would just say, yeah, we do. And if, you know, you want to work in Hollywood, you better not be critical of us because we'll fire you. At least they'd be honest about it. But to sit here and pretend like, oh, no, we don't run Hollywood. You know, I mean, everybody knows that they do. I mean, again, truth is the truth. And he's nailed it right on the head here.
Well, I think he saved his best comments until last, actually. I'm sure he must be being ironic here. Charlemagne noted that while Cannon was entitled to free speech, he was not free of the consequences of that speech. He said the actor could have benefited from having a Jewish scholar or rabbi present to correct any of his inaccurate remarks during the discussion. I just think that is absolutely hilarious. I think, you know, they would like that to be on every program, wouldn't they? That, you know, they should have a Jewish scholar or rabbi there present to correct any inaccurate remarks that may get made during the podcast that the Jews disapprove of. I mean, that just, you know, that really did make me laugh out loud when I read this one, Grandpa. What do you make of his final comments here about needing a rabbi present to correct any inaccurate remarks during the discussion?
You just have to run it through the speech censors first. Which I was just actually, to be honest, my reaction, I was sitting there as you read that, I was sitting here thinking how funny it would be to have the rabbi present on my show. You know, I could sit here and do my show and have the rabbi stop right there. Yes, the show would last 4 hours because every 2 minutes, stop right there. Let me correct you on that. You know, yeah, it'd be funny, but yeah, no, it's absolutely, again, I mean, what he's basically outlining here is you need to have a censor right there present with you to stop you. And, you know, oh, no, well, you're not allowed to say that. You literally, he's conceding that you literally have to have a rabbi present to run this through before you say anything to make sure that you're not going to get in trouble for it.
I think it's run past the rabbis anyway, isn't it? I mean, it just about anything on the mainstream media that they don't like, you know, it's going to be commented on. It's going to be across every newspaper calling for whoever it is that made the comment to be cancelled. It's just that he's being open here and saying that they should actually be present on set. And again, that's just, you know, it's just admitting the inordinate amount of power that Jews actually have, which is, you know, it bears no resemblance to their percentage of the population. You think 2% of the population, yet they have so much power that they can just get people sacked just like that for saying things that they don't like, basically. I did do a news story earlier this week, actually, about how white actors are terrified for their jobs in Hollywood. And I do wonder if they included Jews in that, because like you said earlier, Grandpa, Jews don't consider themselves to be white. And some of our listeners may not be aware of that, but there were plenty of cases where rabbis have scolded Jews for considering themselves to be white. I think they say they're white when it benefits them to say they're white, when they're talking about racism. And then when they're talking about white privilege, all that sort of thing, that's when they will pretend to be white, as if they are criticizing themselves. But then when cases come out like this, when white people are being criticized, then they will side with the non-whites. And of course, regardless of that, they can always side with the religion and say, well, Jew is just a religion. It's just the same as being a Christian or being a Hindu. And of course, it's not. It's a people. Jews are a people and they are also a religion. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back next week with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.